Well, Australian exporters are looking around thinking who's next as Beijing's list of trade threats and tariffs grows. In an effective ban on Australian coal exports, the Chinese propaganda outlet, The Global Times, said the decision was due to the deteriorating relationship between China and Australia. There you have it. The situation hasn't been confirmed by the Chinese government exactly, but the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, says if this is the case, it's a clear breach of the WTO rules and the China-Australia Free Trade Agreement.
Those reports have not been clarified by the Chinese government. That said, if that were the case, then that would obviously be in breach of WTO rules. It would be obviously in breach of our own free trade agreement. And so I would hope that we could get to the point of having some mature discussions about these issues.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison yesterday. Craig Emerson was Australia's Trade Minister in the Gillard government from 2010 to 2013. He's these days Director of the Australian APEC Study Centre at RMIT. Craig Emerson, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks very much, Fran.
Is the Prime Minister right? If this, as we understand it to be, a ban on Australia's coal exports, is it clear breach of WTO rules and of the Free Trade Agreement?
It is. It's a breach of both. And it needs to be settled, and lots of people are complaining. That's fair enough, but it's really time to come up with some solutions on this. And one that I think is worth considering is that we agree with China to go to the WTO on a range of grievances, each against the other, and have a panel formed to look at each of those grievances. After he was elected, President Xi Jinping lauded the WTO and acknowledged its primacy as the organisation that presides over the globe's rules-based trading system. And this was, you know, soon in the context of Donald Trump, where he was saying, well, we don't believe in the rules-based trading system. So maybe it's time for the Chinese leadership to say, okay, well, we do reaffirm its commitment to the system and agree to, if they don't want to negotiate these trade barriers away with Australia, if they think that they are justly based, then let's go. Almost hand in hand to the WTO.
Okay, and I want to ask you more about that, but just in terms of the WTO, we now have the Global Times quoting a director of the Chinese government think tank, the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, saying that Mongolia, for instance, could take a large share from Australian coal. Quote, as the relationship between China and Australia has been deteriorating and Australia is gradually losing the Chinese market. So clearly linking, this is a Chinese government mouthpiece, clearly linking or openly linking the ban on Australian coal to diplomatic tensions. In WTO terms, does that constitute a breach of WTO rules? Linking?
Yes, it does.
It does?
Yes, it does. Yeah, that, look, there's an obscure national security clause from way back in 1947 that Donald Trump actually sought to exploit and said, oh, well, we're putting tariffs on aluminium and steel on national security grounds. He also put them on Whirlpool. That is, you know, washing machines on national security grounds, which, so it's pretty laughable. China's not actually trying to do that. It's just saying, you know, we've got grievances with Australia. I wouldn't be repeating what I think was a bit of an error from the PM who reacted to a mid-ranking official in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs with what was a disgraceful depiction, you know, of an Australian soldier and an Afghan child. Mm-hmm. So let's listen to the statements of people who are genuinely senior. Otherwise, we're going to try and get into this situation where a backbencher says something in Australia. Suddenly, that backbencher is really senior, the chair of the such and such parliamentary committee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the dialogue just becomes so confused. And I think we're far better off dealing with the most serious people in China.
Well, that's all very well, except it seems like our ministers can't deal directly with the most senior people in China. Our Trade Minister, Simon Birmingham, still hasn't been able to talk to his Chinese counterpart. In fact, I don't think any Australian minister from the top down has been able to talk to their Chinese counterpart for more than a year. So yeah. If you can't do that, how can Australia move this on, try and draw a line under this?
We do have an embassy in China, of course, and, you know, you can have communications, back-channel communications. They are possible. It's absolutely true. I think Simon Birmingham's been doing a terrific job, actually. But, you know, if his counterpart won't pick up the phone, then you know, he can't make him do so. So, you know,
So what do they do? I mean, you say, well, let's go to the WTO. Revitalising the WTO process takes time. Is there something short-term that could be done?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. You know, we've had barley and wine. They were the early cabs off the rank. I think as a trade economist, they don't have any merit. That is the restrictions based on allegations of dumping, because we produce barley, apparently Western Australian barley, with irrigated water. Well, we don't. So I don't think that one would take too long in the WTO. Mm. And it would be a bit of a test. I don't mean that in a provocative way. But China has consistently said, right through the tariff wars with Donald Trump, has consistently said we must abide by the WTO's rules and, you know, the international order. Okay, let's do that. And let's go together if we need to. And say, well, you've got grievances. You, China, have grievances mm-hmm. against Australia. For example, we've got a range of anti-dumping actions against China, which China believes breached the free trade agreement. And that is because John Howard, when he first mooted the negotiation of the China-Australia free trade agreement, gave China market economy status, which makes it harder to prove dumping against China. But apparently, according to the Productivity Commission, our Productivity Commission, we have not been following those rules. So, you know, we think China's actions are spurious. China thinks Australia's actions are spurious. Who's going to adjudicate this? I mean, is anyone going to put their hand up and say, yeah, look, fair enough, our actions are spurious? I don't think so. So I think the best way of doing it is to go to the WTO. There's every chance of it being revitalised under the Biden administration, no chance under the Trump administration. And it does have an appeals process. You form panels first. They're sort of a bit less formal. And if that one party is still aggrieved, you can go to the so-called appellate body. Now, Donald Trump refused to appoint new judges to that as the terms of existing judges expired, so that it doesn't operate anymore. There's one judge left out of seven. I would think that Joe Biden would, if not immediately, quite soon, say, look, let's get that appellate body going.
Right.
And so then we'll have a functioning system.
You said you were, impressed or approving anyway of the way the Trade Minister, Simon Birmingham, is responding to this. The Prime Minister at the moment is, you know, standing firm, pushing back against China and talking about protecting Australia's sovereignty. But in the past year or so, I suppose probably since the Prime Minister in the US talked about the WTO, you know, redefining China's status, has been accused at times of some kind of foghorn diplomacy. Yep. Has the Prime Minister settled on the right tone now? Have we taken the right tone in the past?
I think there were errors in the past. I think the speech that the Prime Minister gave only weeks after Donald Trump gave the same speech, that China must relinquish its developing economy status at the WTO, was a wrong decision. China did have that status because it was a developing economy in 2001 when it joined the WTO. So I thought I'd do some research on what advantages China has accessed through the application of that status, and the answer was zero. So what was that all about? It was just, you know, Donald Trump poking China in the eye, and then our Prime Minister saying, well, Donald Trump's right. And I think this is one of the problems. We are seen to be the deputy sheriff and the mouthpiece of the US in our own region. And that's fine where we agree with the US or where the US is saying something sensible. But we don't just have to repeat everything particularly Donald Trump has had to say.
There is a question which I haven't been able to find the right answer to yet, but a lot of people are asking it. This Chinese ban on Australian coal imports, whether it's all our coal, which is about $14 billion worth, or whether it's our thermal coal only, which I think is about $4 billion worth. Do you know the answer to that?
No, I was looking for exactly the same answer.
And we'll keep looking.
I think that's why the PM is saying, well, we haven't had official confirmation from China.
Okay.
Yeah, let's get the detail.
Chinese investors do hold a significant stake in a number of Australian coal mines. It's been controversial sometimes in itself. Would you expect those mines to be affected too, those coal exports?
Well, I'm not sure whether they, you know, will, when the coal gets on a ship, whether they'll say, well, which mine did it come from? You know, to a degree, coal is coal, not to the nth degree.
Yeah.
But look, I think we'll just have to wait and see on this. But let's just say the issues are clearly escalating. China's really upset with Australia. Australia is protecting its national interest. China would protect its national interest. Australia does protect its national interest and should do so. Sometimes the language, some of the speeches have probably not hit the mark, certainly on the Australian side and definitely on the Chinese side. So let's try to cool it and do our best through back channels, through the embassies, to see if we can get a reaffirmation at the most senior levels of the Chinese government of the importance and primacy of the World Trade Organization and the global rules-based trading system. Okay. It seems to me that that's the only sensible way through.
Craig Emerson, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Fran.
Former Trade Minister Craig Emerson.